Welcome back to the Lynx Golf Podcast. This is digital editor Al Lunsford with Lynx. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. The timing is good because as of last night, the Stanley Cup playoffs just ended. And we have a back-to-back champion with the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I'm joined today by one of the greatest players in the history of the game of hockey, sport of hockey. Game or sport, I don't even know what to call it there. But he is...
To each their own.
To each their own. Well, he is, among other things, he's a member of the Triple Gold Club, which means you won an Olympic gold medal, World Championship gold medal, and a Stanley Cup. He's one of the only defensemen to win the Hart Memorial Trophy, the MVP, alongside Bobby Orr, which is a name that a lot of people know. Even if you don't follow hockey, you probably know that name. And he's a Hall of Famer. Since I've joined Lynx, I've learned that he is an avid golfer as well because he interacts with us a ton on Instagram. And his name is Chris Pronger. Chris, what's going on today? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
How much do you miss, watching hockey and watching the season end last night? How much do you miss the game? And is golf, it seems like you love golf. Has that kind of filled the void of your competitive nature and juices?
Yeah, I try not to get too competitive on the golf course. Number one, I'm not good enough. Number two, you know what? I just like being outside. I like, the peaceful nature of being on the golf course. And before my knee, I used to walk a fair amount. Now I'm strictly cart only. I'm technically not on the senior tour, but I feel like I am. I like being out there just, having good bonding time with those like-minded folks that like playing golf, like having a good time and ribbing each other out there and watching good golf. And really, it kind of fills the void of the locker room more so than the competitive side, where you're out there talking about life, talking about sports, and just enjoying one another's company.
Yeah. When did you start playing golf? Did you pick it up before in your youth, or was this an
after? Oh yeah, no, I was a avid golfer as a junior. I probably started playing when I was five, and I'm a lefty. So back then in Canada, there wasn't a lot of left-handed golf clubs. So it was, I had three or four golf clubs in my bag, and I lived right over the hill from our little 9-hole golf course back home in Dryden, Ontario. So we were there every day. I'd play, 36, 54. We'd get up in the morning, ride our bikes over there, play golf, have lunch, play golf, occasionally have dinner, play some late night golf. So that was kind of something that was an everyday occurrence and something that we did probably up until I was about 12.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
and hockey and other things start getting in the way.
Yeah. Hopefully once Mike Weir wins the Masters, then you start seeing more left-handed clubs in Canada. Did you continue to play while you were playing in the NHL and professionally?
I took it back up. I missed probably four summers. I was away on different hockey tournaments and training and doing different things. Got drafted, and then I picked it up again, started playing a little more frequently in the summers. I got injured, I think year five of here in St. Louis. And, I broke my wrist, broke my hand, had some thumb issues and some things like that from just playing. And really, I had to take probably 5 years off of playing where it just hurt too much to swing. And, I'm one of those guys that's a digger. I take big divots, and with a bad wrist, that's not good. Taking big divots and having a bad wrist, they're not, they don't go hand in hand, so to speak. And it was not a pretty sight on the golf course when I was in pain like that. So I didn't play for a while. And then as, the wrist started to feel a bit better, hands started feeling a bit better, I got back into it and, was able to play a lot more and have a lot more fun out there.
It seems like a lot of hockey players are naturally good at the game of golf. Why do you think that is? Just the kind of the motions, the skill set, does that translate well?
I think the hand-eye coordination, I think the, you know, it's a similar motion. It's not the same, but it's similar. The repetitive nature of the swing and, you know, shooting a puck. And then I just think we get our summers off. So guys, you know, they go work out and then they go play golf. You know, they're either on the lake or they go play golf and, you know, enjoy the day and get outside.
In your professional career, you in the NHL, you went from Hartford to St. Louis, Edmonton, Anaheim, and Philadelphia. Which of those cities do you think either has the best golf or you played the most golf in and enjoyed the sport?
You know what? When I was playing, I really didn't play a lot of golf. I was more focused on the season, focused on, you know, staying sharp, staying preparing myself for the game. You know, obviously when you look at Philly and you look at the golf courses that are in that area with Pine Valley and Marion and I mean, it's a laundry list, Golf Mills. I mean, there's a laundry list of courses that old and new that are amazing golf courses. So Philly was probably of the areas that I've lived in when I played, probably the place that had the most prestigious and I mean, hardest golf courses. But obviously being in Anaheim, lived on a golf course there, Shady Canyon. Here in St. Louis, you got Belrive, you got Old Warson, you got Boone Valley, you got St. Louis Country Club. So you have a lot of different styles of golf courses, which I think is unique to our area here in St. Louis. You know, from Boone Valley and the hills to St. Louis, how tight it is and you know, CB McDonald. And, you know, so you kind of walk through the different styles of courses, the different architects and designers. You get a really good mix here. And then Hartford obviously played a little bit at where they have the Travelers and whatnot. But, you know, I would compare probably St. Louis and Philly were similar in types of golf courses and kind of the broad array of styles that you could play.
Yeah. Have you gotten into like the architectural aspect of golf, or are you big into that?
I wouldn't say I'm big into it, but I appreciate it a little bit more now, understanding and having played more golf courses that, you know, have that old world feel versus the new world feel and the new designers that take a little bit from those old school designers of yesteryear. My favorite place to play is obviously out in Monterey and, you know, Cypress and Pebble and Spyglass and, you know, can't beat that, you know, from the views to the architecture and how you, the first time I played Cypress, you know, you're looking, you see the bunkering and then you look back from the green to the tee, you can't see the bunkers. You know, it's pretty impressive to think how long ago that course was built and to think of the ways in which he designed it. But the way the bunkering, you just look back, you see the water, you can't see the bunkers. It's to be able to have done that back when it was built is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I looked back through your Instagram. I saw you posted at one point of the favorite courses of yours. And you talked about Pine Valley, you talked about Cypress. I know you played the old course. What else ranks up in there amongst the favorite places you've played?
I played Royal County Down, was spectacular. Enjoyed Ballybunion, Lahinch. Port Marnock was probably the most Ireland of rounds we had, where it was blowing about 40 miles an hour and we had torrential downpour. It was probably one of the only times playing over in Ireland, Scotland, where people were actually walking off the golf course. Typically, you never see that, but it was so bad that people were walking off the course. So we gutted it out, and actually, in typical fashion, it cleared up a little bit, and you know, we were still wet, but we were able to finish our round.
Amongst your travel experiences, is that up there at the top, Ireland, or is there another place you'd also like to go?
Yeah, you know, I've been to Bandon Dunes, I've been to Cabot, up in Nova Scotia. You know, I've been fortunate enough to go to some pretty unique places. Ireland, it's pretty hard to beat, just from the style of golf, the conditions. You could go there in December and get the same conditions you get in August. You know, it's crazy to think, but, you know, there's no real technically season over there. You never know what you're going to get. It's very similar to Pebble. I've played at Pebble right before Christmas one time, and it was 65 degrees and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go in late spring, you might get a, 30 mile an hour wind and, a little torrential downpour. And so you never know what you're going to get, which I think is the interesting part of it. You got to be prepared and make sure you're dressed accordingly.
Yeah. And you almost kind of want that, I would think, at least one of your rounds, if you're going to go to Ireland, let me get a taste of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you consider to be, you have all these achievements in hockey, what do you consider to be your greatest golf achievement?
I broke par once. And think of this. This is crazy. I'm coming up 18. I was 3 under. I hit a perfect drive. I hit a perfect second shot. And the green was 3-tiered. I 4-putted for a double.
Just limping
shot
in.
One under. I limped in, I guess, on the green.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was my best round of my life. I was just dialed in, and everything was working. Putter was working. I was hitting it fairly consistently in the middle of the face of the club. And, it just was, I was lights out that day and have yet to get back there.
Yeah. Where was that? What course is that on?
That was at Shady Canyon in Orange County.
Okay. Gotcha. Is there a comparable, I talked to a sports psychologist on a different podcast about this idea of being in the zone. It sounds like that's where you were that day. Is there a comparable feeling when you're on the ice? Like, what does it mean to be in the zone in the middle of a hockey game?
No, absolutely. There is. I mean, there's times throughout the course of the season where you feel great and everything just comes easy and the game slows down and it's simple. It doesn't matter what gets thrown at you, what's going on in the game. It's just easy. And then there's other times when you're just not feeling good. You're not feeling right. It just, you're fighting it and you're trying to simplify your game as much as possible just to kind of get through until you get that feeling back. In golf, it's the same thing. You feel like your swing's grooved. One day it feels good. You're getting into the right position and you're making good contact. The next day you're like, I don't even know how to golf.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part and the crazy part of golf is that it can drive people bananas and you see, tour guys tweaking their swings and trying to, people, the lay person doesn't know what they're trying to fix, but they do. And what type of shot they're trying to fix or trying to hit. And, that's part of the craft and part of being elite and being at that highest level.
Yeah. I know so you live in St. Louis now, still, and one of the places you played hockey. And I saw you also, you hosted a charity golf tournament recently or helped put on with the alumni from the Blues. How long has that been going on and what do you guys do for that every year?
Yeah, since I came back, obviously got a little bit more involved with the alumni. It's to raise money for the alumni, which is a 501(c) that then donates to kids hockey programs, local businesses. We started a fund during COVID to help local businesses. So it really kind of runs the gamut with what the organization is involved in, what the alumni is trying to do, and then ultimately do good in the community and help those less fortunate to have an opportunity to play hockey, play sport, and then obviously help some local businesses along the way.
Very cool. I think I saw you certainly play a lot at Old Warson. I don't know if you belong there, but Old RTJ course, that was, of course, the 1971 Ryder Cup host. What's it like to play there on a regular basis?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's in great shape. It's a fun golf course to play. I mean, there's always, you know, as much as you learn the little nooks and crannies, there's always something new for me to figure out, a different angle, you know, whether your swing is grooved or not. greens are in fabulous shape. We've redesigned a couple holes on the back. Three holes, or we moved 16 green closer to the water, getting it more back to the original design. Changed 17 to be a much longer par three. It's from the tips, it's like 240, 245. And then moved 18 tee back, probably 20 or 30 yards, to make it a much more demanding tee shot and second shot into the green, where you're probably hitting a, you know, you hit a good drive, you might be hitting a 6 or 7 iron in instead of a 9 or a wedge. So it just, it's a little, makes it a little bit more demanding home stretch. And then, you know, there's just some really unique holes that I find playing it. If I can get through the first 5 holes, 1 over, 2 over, I'm going to have a good day, just with how demanding some of those holes are.
Yeah. But that was done on like the past few years.
It was done like a year and a half ago.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah. Nowadays, how are you spending your time? I know you and your wife have a luxury travel business. Is that the majority of your professional life now?
Yeah, it takes up pretty much all my time, you know, outside of, you know, dealing with kids and you know, watching sporting events and things like that, that they're involved in. No, it's been fantastic. It's great to build a business with my wife and kind of see her vision through and kind of help guide and steer us in the right direction with what we want to do with our core values and where we see the best fit for our clients and how we can help them create travel experiences that are going to allow them to, whether it's with their family, with business, allow them to get the best experiences and the most value out of what they're trying to do. And we're relationship driven. We really want to get to know our clients on a more personal level and really kind of peel back the onion to understand what's going on in their life. Our clients are, you know, typically athletes, entertainers, C-level executives, business owners, high net worth family offices. And the reason for that specific funnel of clientele is that's what we know. That's who we know. We have a unique ability to understand the demands in their time, the pressures of the job, the fame, the fortune, the pressure on home life, stress on kids. You know, we've been in their shoes. We understand exactly what they're dealing with. And so we're able to really kind of dig in and understand on a much deeper level how we can best serve them and help them create lifelong experiences with their family, with their spouse. You know, whether it's creating a corporate retreat for the leadership team of a specific company. You know, we kind of do a lot of different things, but it's all centered around health and wellness, the healing powers of travel, and the mind, body, spirit, and how we can incorporate that into everything that we do for the most part. And obviously that's not all we do, but it's a big portion of it.
Yeah. It's amazing. So I looked through some sample itineraries and kind of what you can do at different destinations. How often does golf get inserted into that fold? It seems like at a lot of these places that becomes part of someone's travel.
Yeah, plan. There's, yeah, you know, I think people want to know where certain golf courses are in relation to where they're going. Their itinerary might be centered around playing certain golf courses, yet they want to be able to, you know, have a good spa, have a great culinary experience, you know, some adventure, what have you, whether it's ocean, whether it's mountain, you know, so I think it's really important to have those conversations and understand what people's interests are, how important something specifically is to them, so that you can then curate the itinerary based around interest level, and really kind of how that piece of the itinerary fits into the overarching, I guess, travel experience and what their goal is for that specific trip. You know, it can be a couple's trip. It can be a family vacation. Maybe the kids play golf, and you're trying to incorporate all that into one. So it really just boils down to having a conversation and really kind of getting to know specific brands. If people are into boutique properties, or they like a specific brand, or they don't like something, you got to get to know them to understand the types of properties they like staying in. And then you're able to put new properties and new destinations in front of them that will appeal to what they're looking for.
Circling back, I know we talking about the Stanley Cup, and we mentioned the Ryder Cup was at Old Warson, and we got the Ryder Cup this year up in Wisconsin. I don't know why I was blanking on that.
Kohler.
Yeah.
Going to Kohler.
Yeah. Is there a sporting event in golf, one of the big majors that you want to go to, or do you have one that you've been to that really made an impression on you?
Let me think. I don't know if I've been to a major. My parents actually were in Augusta with my wife's parents the year Mike Weir won.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not. I don't think I've ever been. I was at the PGA when Brooks Koepka won here in Belle Reve.
Yeah.
That was, you know what, they did an amazing job. I was talking to one of the people with the PGA the next day, cause I played Belle Reve the next day in a corporate outing, and they were worried that there were too many people at the event. That's the type of support that they got. The scene around 18 when Tiger was finishing, it was like 50 deep. It was crazy. And then obviously Koepka doing what he did on the way in and finishing the deal. It was pretty impressive, but it was jammed, which I don't know if they were ready for the type of support that they were going to get, but they got it. It was a sight to see.
Yeah. Do you keep a running count of all the courses you've played at all? Do you keep a tally or collector's items, anything like
that? Yeah. To a certain point, yeah. I mean, I know the courses that I played. I know the bucket list courses that I want to play. That I, you know, if I happen to be in a certain destination, I want to, you know, try to play one or two, if depending upon the location. You know, it takes time. It's, you know, I hopefully got a lot more time.
Yeah, right.
I've played a lot of the top 100 courses. Some of them I haven't, just because of where they're located, but, you know, at some point you get around to them and you get the opportunity to play and you jump on it.
What's on the top of that bucket list of the ones you want to play? Or do you have one you're crossing off soon?
No, you know what? I haven't booked any golf because of my knee. So I haven't even really, honestly, I haven't even thought about it. I kind of just have golf in the back burner right now because of, I don't want to tease myself too bad.
Ah, of course. Have you been out to Big Cedar there in Missouri?
I have. I was there about a year and a half ago before the National and Paynes Valley were open. They were just finishing up the build, but that place looks spectacular. Mm-hmm. That's a home run right there. Those courses are outstanding.
Yeah, that kind of put Missouri on the map in terms of being like a destination. I know St. Louis is obviously probably the biggest tourist attraction, but what they're building out there in terms of family-oriented resort and then now really great golf has certainly...
They do a great job there. Big Cedar does a really nice job.
Yeah.
And now with the golf, I'm sure they'll figure out some lodging out probably by the golf courses as well and turn that into a bit of a destination as well.
They added some cabins overlooking like the first hole of Payne's Valley. So that's brand new. Because I know Golf Lodging was something that they were kind of missing out on.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
things are looking good. My last thing for you, and, awesome. And I don't even know if this is a thing, but I'm a big fan of the hockey slang and different terms for different things.
The terminology.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like Letterkenny is one of my favorite shows. Actually, I just like the slang they spit out and have to look up things half the time, but
you don't know what they're saying.
A lot of times I'm like, context clues, you usually pick up on it, but sometimes you have to look it up. So I was wondering if there was certain hockey slang that may like apply on the golf course. And if you incorporate that at all into your chirping with your buddies at all. Like I looked up a couple examples that might fit. So like in terms of like a really like hard shot, maybe that you mash one, maybe that's a howitzer or a laser beam right at the hole there.
Laser. Yeah. That was a laser.
Maybe you duff one, you hit a muffin up there.
This is true. There's another one. Yep.
Could have a golf partner or somebody you're playing against that's standing on their head, you know, making putts out of nowhere. Yes. Out of his butt.
Playing lights out.
Right. And then I don't know if there's a if there's a slang term for the golf ball, like biscuit for the puck, that could apply for the golf ball. Is there anything?
Yeah, you could use that. You could use that. Yeah, I you know, laser's a big one. Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think here. What else? You drain a long putt. You went five hole.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Let's see here. What else? Some of it's probably not meant for
not PG.
Yeah, it's not PG.
Well,
there's a lot of locker room talk. How about that? We'll leave it at that.
Okay, good, good. Well, perfect. I'm going to keep going down the list and try to incorporate it into my
daily routine. Perfect. Surprising I love it. People.
But, hey, I really appreciate it. Thanks for being a fan of Lynx and engaging with our stuff. I hope we can inspire you to keep adding to your bucket list. But also hope the knee gets better so you can get back out there and maybe cross paths at some point, but thanks for joining the pod.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.